All right, a quick update on the Ukraine situation. Mike Adams here. I think it's the 25th, 26th of March weekend. Biden was in Brussels and he just accidentally slipped out that the 82nd Airborne was going to be engaging with Russia. That the 82nd Airborne is going to, you know, be actively fighting this war in Ukraine. Now, we've known for many weeks that the 82nd Airborne was being deployed. I mean, those rumors have been all over the place, and you know, lots of intel sources confirming that, but they had been deployed to mostly Poland and some other countries, Eastern, Central European countries. But now Biden, you know, slipped out because he's got no discipline of what he says. He slips out that they're going to be engaged in a war in Ukraine. So this tells us some very critical things. I'm going to explain here the reason why Biden is in such a hurry. Or not Biden, but his handlers are in such a hurry to push America into war with Russia. So first, it tells us that they're going to have a false flag attack in order to blame Russia and then to have the U.S. public feel like, oh, we have to join the war because look at the injured children or look at the bloodied women or whatever the false flag is. And it's probably going to be a chemical weapons attack because they've already set the narrative where they're saying, well, if it's a chemical weapons attack, that's a line, you know, that if Russia crosses that line, we're all in with war. So that has been pre-stated by the United States government, the Biden regime. And then once they carry out that false flag attack, the media is going to be prepared to jump all over it with all the photos and, you know, all the emotional tugs. This is going to be an emotional recruitment. And then the American people are going to be outraged over this thing, whatever it is, this false flag. And again, it's the latest outrage. The people have to be told every week what to be angry about. And they will be angry about it. And then you'll see it. Oh, the senators and the White House, we must go in and stop these atrocities, they'll say. They are atrocities that are being carried out. And we have to stop them on a humanitarian basis. Okay, so that's what's about to happen. Don't be surprised at all when it does happen. Now, ask yourself, why the rush, right? See, up until now, Joe Biden has said that American soldiers were not going to be involved on the ground in the war. And you know, that was always a lie. They knew it. But the American people thought, okay, we're going to stay out of it because the American people are not that thrilled about the idea of American soldiers dying in Eastern Europe in a war with Russia. And they're not thrilled about the escalation of war with Russia. You know, nobody wants to get in a nuclear exchange with any country, not Russia, not China, not Pakistan, right? Nobody wants that. So what is motivating America to push the false flag and push the soldiers, the U.S. soldiers, into conflict with Russia? And the answer is found in the fact that Russia has recently announced that it's selling oil and energy at a discount, but especially oil at a discount. And in addition to that, that they are demanding payment in rubles or gold for their energy. Now, this is going to create demand for the ruble, and I've talked about that before, calling it the hydrocarbon ruble as a replacement for the petrodollar. But at the same time, domestically, Russia, the Russian government is buying up gold from the people of Russia and also the banks to bring the gold into Russia's central bank. And there, they will be announcing their gold backing of the ruble. So the ruble is going to become a currency that is backed by a portfolio of actual commodities. One of them will be gold. Another one will be hydrocarbons, i.e. natural gas. And it's even possible that the ruble could be backed by other commodities such as aluminum or even food or fertilizer at some point. You know, it could be a portfolio of things backing the currency. And what that means is that anybody can trade in the currency or use the currency to buy those commodities. And these are commodities that every country in the world needs. Every country needs hydrocarbons. Every country needs aluminum. every country needs food, you know, wheat and so on. And frankly, every country needs fertilizer as well. So Russia is playing some serious 3D chess here. You know, Putin is not a moron. Now, he might be, you know, an evil dude. And no doubt he is, because he came out of the Russian, you know, secret intelligence community, just like George Bush did in the U.S. Like, George Bush and Vladimir Putin are probably both, you know, really immoral sociopaths. And that's how they rose to the top of their intelligence communities and ended up running their respective countries. But they're not stupid. Well, I mean, W was kind of stupid, but I mean, his father was not stupid. And Putin is not stupid. So Putin's playing 3D chess, and he knows that if he can maneuver the ruble into a position of being backed by all of these multiple layers of commodities portfolio, you know, assets, then the dollar is really in trouble. Because who's going to want dollars? You know, who's going to want to pay full price for oil in dollars when, number one, the American government keeps printing trillions of dollars all the time? So the dollar's losing value. And when you could go to Russia and just buy rubles and get a discount on energy, a serious discount. Some countries are getting something like a 20% discount on millions of barrels of oil right now. That's huge. In the international marketplace, that is huge. And for Russia, it doesn't really hurt them to sell these things at a discount, since they're basically collecting them for free. You know, natural gas comes out of the ground essentially at zero incremental cost once you build the infrastructure to pull it out. So you can tap natural gas all day long and sell it at a discount. You're still making a fortune. Same thing with oil. Oil is essentially free energy coming out of the ground. I mean, of course, you have to spend a lot of money to get it out. But once you build that infrastructure, getting out each incremental million barrels of oil does not add that much incremental cost to you. So it's all, well, mostly pure profit at that point. So Russia can sell oil and energy at discounts all day long. And in doing so, they can pull demand away from the petrodollar, and they can cause the dollar to lose favor with other nations that are buying commodities. Now, those nations are already carrying around a very suspicious feeling about the dollar, because the United States Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, has in effect defaulted on what it owes Russia, because the Federal Reserve and also the banks of other nations like the UK have declared that they are seizing Russia's reserve holdings equal to $300 billion. That is technically a default by the central banks of the West that are refusing to give back to Russia the things that belong to Russia. So did you ever think that the Western banking system would default on its obligations to other nations? Well, that has just happened. Now, of course, the West doesn't call it a default. They say, no, we are quarantining these funds, which is the same as stealing them. It's kind of like saying, oh, you're deplatformed because you have said something that is misinformation, so you're off the platform, and we're just protecting the platform from your misinformation. But all you said was that, oh, vaccines are killing people, which is true. Maybe that's not the best metaphor for this, but you get the point. The Western banks just flat out lied and said, oh, well, we don't like Russia, we're going to steal their loot. It's the same as tech platforms lying and saying, we don't like what you are saying, we're going to kick you off the platform. So Russia needs to make up for $300 billion that was stolen from them by Western banks. Now, in addition, the economic sanctions that were declared against Russia are an act of war, and it was a first strike weapon, a financial weapon of mass destruction by the West. You see, Russia was not attacking the West. Russia was attacking Ukraine, but not the UK or the United States or Canada or all these other countries. And yet these Western nations, especially NATO nations and United Nations, nations got together and said, oh, we're going to declare economic warfare against Russia and deplatform them from the entire banking system. So that was a first strike weapon, a weapon of mass destruction against Russia. So Russia now has every incentive to strike back against that by taking down the dollar, by taking down the economic pillars of the West, which is essentially the dollar, the petrodollar status. And in order to do that, Russia has to maneuver its own currency into something that is more trustworthy, more stable, and that can be used to buy more commodities that countries need, even if it means taking a loss on the profits of what Russia is selling or exporting to other nations, such as natural gas or oil or whatever. And that's why they're selling oil at a discount, because they are, in essence, they're flooding the global market with cheaper commodities while shoring up the ruble as the world's choice currency to purchase the commodities that everybody needs. This is, in effect, a very strategic attack on the dollar. And it makes the dollar look kind of useless, really, kind of pointless. You know, who would bet on the dollar at this point when the dollar keeps losing value and when the U.S. keeps printing trillions of dollars, but Russia is backing its currency with gold and maybe silver and aluminum. You know, there's a lot of silver mining in Russia and also energy. See, suddenly, in a world of risk and chaos, everybody wants currencies that are backed by something, currencies that hold value, not currencies that lose value. And so Russia is moving very rapidly to shore up its currency in this way, knowing that there are 100 plus other countries around the world that are standing by ready to drop the dollar as the reserve currency. That's Project Sandman that I spoke about earlier. So Russia is just scrambling to set itself up to be the next choice of probably just a couple of currencies, the renminbi from China, as well as the Russian ruble. Those would become the dominant currencies while the dollar collapses. So I said all that to explain this. This explains why Biden's handlers and NATO in general are in such a hurry to run a false flag operation and then to push a war on Russia in Ukraine and to engage Russia with United States soldiers and to escalate this war as quickly as possible, because waging war with Russia is a defensive strategy to slow down Russia's move to shore up its own currency and also to obfuscate problems with the dollar, such as inflation and scarcity of goods, such as food. So you could explain food shortages to the American people if your explanation is, hey, we're in a war. This is World War III. But you can't explain 25% inflation and empty shelves if you don't have a good excuse for it. You know, you can't just say, oh, we've been printing too much money, therefore you're paying double the price for bread. And that's if it's even on the shelf. So domestically, Joe Biden needs a war with Russia to cover for his own failed domestic policies, but he also needs to distract Russia from completing its task of shoring up its own currency in anticipation of the Project Sandman Global Declaration, which is the universal abandonment of the dollar. Does that make sense? So it's a race. It's a race. It's a ticking, well, financial time bomb, you could say. And the question is, who gets there first? And this is why the West is not afraid to escalate this war. They know that if they don't engage Russia kinetically, if they don't take out Putin, Russia's going to win the financial war, because Russia has the commodities and America is led by, you know, incompetent, bumbling morons who actually want to destroy America. Whereas Russia, whatever you want to say about Putin, he's not anti-Russia, is he? He's pro-Russia. I mean, my God, if only America had a president that was fighting for America. Well, I mean, we had that. His name was Trump. And maybe we'll get him back. But Biden wasn't fighting for America. Obama wasn't fighting for America. The Democrats are never fighting for America. They're fighting against America, whereas Putin is fighting for Russia. So this explains a lot once you understand this dynamic and why America is in such a hurry. And this is why almost every day I'm very worried that we're going to see a false flag attack, you know, imminently, because, well, the time is running out. And it looks like Mariupol has fallen to the Russians. That's one of the port cities on the southern border of Ukraine. And it looks like Russia is succeeding in taking out the Azov Battalion, which is the neo-Nazi groups that have long been supported by the corrupt Ukrainian regime. And it looks like Russia is going to be moving west with a lot more force in order to really secure Odessa. And I think that's been one of their main goals in all of this. And of course, also Donetsk and Luhansk. And I think those are the main two regions in the southeastern portion of the country that Russia wants to, quote, liberate from Ukraine. So Russia is getting very close to achieving its goals, its strategic goals in Ukraine. And it's also making moves on its currency to shore it up, you know, purchasing gold, offering discounts, and saying that so-called unfriendly countries now have to purchase energy in rubles only. Oh, and also Bitcoin. They've also said that the energy minister of Russia has said they will accept Bitcoin for their oil. And you can just see the heads explode in the West. Oh my God, they're selling commodities for Bitcoin. I mean, do you realize that that puts cryptocurrency in a commodities-backed standing? If you can buy commodities, you know, by the millions of tons or millions of barrels from Russia using Bitcoin, but you can't buy those things using dollars or euros, suddenly cryptocurrency is far more useful than the dollar or the euro. So you see how the West is in danger of a total loss in this situation? The West is so stupid, pushing those economic sanctions on Russia, not realizing the West was just disconnecting itself from the global marketplace and destroying its own currency. So keep your eye on the ball here. This dynamic is critical to understand. And if the United States loses this, and so far it looks like the U.S. is actually trying to lose this, then the American people are going to be living in poverty for at least a generation. At least a generation. There will be no way to just keep printing money and trading it for goods and services from other countries around the world, because who's going to want the dollar when the dollar is becoming increasingly worthless by the day? Especially when there are other better currency options that are backed by something real and will hold value. You know, backed by gold, for example. So that's my take on the current situation. Thank you for listening. Get prepared. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Get prepared and watch out for what happens to the dollars that you're holding. In my view, you don't want to be holding a lot of dollars when this all hits the fan. You know, when the music stops, whoever's holding dollars is going to be holding, bags of dirt, basically. So that's my take on things. Be safe. Take care.